What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, Monday, May 13th. Yes, it is the glorious voice of yours truly that you hear once again. I'm Will Brinson. I'm back from Disney. Very excited to be back hosting this podcast every single day. I missed you guys. I am told that things went very well while I was gone. And we'll probably spend 15 or 20 minutes catching up. No, I'm just kidding. We'll talk about some football. We'll dive into the news. Tuesday's show will be our Game of Thrones show, of course. Beloved by our bosses that we talk about Game of Thrones weekly. Joining me today. Oh, before I bring on Ryan Wilson, I should point out that the PGA Championship is this week. Happy PGA Championship week. It will be airing on TNT and CBS. It is, I don't want to say it's the best major because it's not the best major, but it's one of the two best majors. How about that? PGA Championship moved up, of course. And if you want pics for the PGA Championship, you should go to sportsline.com. You should be reading Kyle Porter's stuff on cbssports.com all week. And make sure you're going to cbssports.com/live to watch the streaming options available for the PGA Championship. It's going to be a great week. We'll have more info as the week rolls on. Ryan Wilson, I don't want to give you too much credit here, buddy, but from what I understand, you basically kept this podcast alive while I was gone. True or false?
I think it says something that your boss, our boss, Eric Kay, took great pleasure in texting you while you were in Florida that the podcast was going better than ever and we really didn't need you. I think it had very little to do with that. It's just a matter of giving you a hard time while you were chugging $10 beers and not doing anything.
Oh, my God. So that place is expensive.
It told you that.
Yeah, that is not a joke. Disney's price point.
But how was the customer service compared to every other customer service experience you've ever had in your life?
That's fantastic. Right?
Number one.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, like, they're like, hey, dude, don't you dare tip us while we load your bags. You know, they're like, and of course we'll drop you off. We're going to make sure you're like, at least the package we got, you would load your bags and, you bring your bags to the front desk and then they would show up at the carousel in Raleigh when you got home. Everywhere you went, people are trying to give you something. They're being very friendly and cordial, and they should be because they're gouging your face with money.
We took our nephew back in 2014 when he was 12 years old. My nephew and I went on, whatever that water ride is that's sort of a climate change.
Cali River Rapids.
Yeah. So we had to wait, a while for that because it had broken down for a while. Anyway, we literally lost my wife and my two kids at the time. They're still my wife and two kids. They were much younger. We literally lost them. We had a miscommunication. We couldn't take our cell phones on the ride because it's a water ride. So my wife had our cell phones. Me and my nephew Porter went to a pizza shop and tell me at any other walk of life where you could go to a pizza shop and say, hey, I'm lost. Can I use your phone? The manager ran out. He could not have been more helpful. He immediately gave me the phone to call her.
By the way, was it Pizza Safari?
Whatever. It must have been because you're in that was
Animal Kingdom. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Animal Kingdom. Yeah. So it must have been because we took a couple laps around the park. I was like, oh, my God, we're never going to find him. My two-year-old at the time was like, we've lost Dad and Porter forever.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the pizza dudes, give me your phone. Here's the phone. Make the phone call. They were in the parking lot waiting for us. There were some stern words shared after the kids had gone to bed about communicating better, say from whom to whom. But anyway, the point is you can't roll into your local Pizza Hut and be like, hey, man, I need to use the phone. It's like, get out of here. And they hit you in the head with a pizza pan.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that normally in another music park, they're like, sir, this is go. You know, if you go to the state fair, you're like, hey, I've lost.
This ain't Carowinds.
If you're like, hey, I lost my kid and my wife, they're like, hold on, we gotta go find them. And yeah, Disney, they take care of you. And I'm pretty sure that everybody now with those bands that you get these wristbands that you can charge anything you want to your room. You gotta pay for it eventually, but, you don't have to carry cash. Like I didn't have a credit card or any cash on me at any time. I just used the band. And if we wanted something, you just blast the band.
Like the Fire Festival bands to put $20,000 on.
We sort of had a Pizza Safari incident too. Now we're not going to spend this whole time talking about Disney, but I mean, look, I was there for a week and you know, that's what I did.
By the way, you tweeted more in a week at Disney than I've tweeted since the draft is in.
I did. I got my screen time report on Sunday. Thanks, Apple, for doing that on Sunday. Like I really need that shame. Down 17%. So that's exciting.
That sounds wrong. What happened at Pizza Safari?
Well, so we went to do the Avatar ride. I don't know if you heard about this.
Wasn't open when we were there, but I've heard great things about it.
Holy crap. It is freaking awesome. But as we documented, my wife is actually proud of me because I went on it by myself. Robbie was 2 inches too short to ride it. You have to be 44 inches. He's like 42 inches tall. So they said, hey, look, you got to go down to the gift shop. And he didn't really want to ride it anyway. He was a little scared. So AK went and rode it. And then they did a ride. Like, this is the thing is they were like, hey, listen, you've waited in line for 15 minutes. Your son's too short. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you one free fast pass for another ride. And then you can just go hang out at the gift shop. And then when she's done, you can go ride it. And don't worry about it. You'll be taken care of. Like, they're just throwing ride passes at you. And so she rode it. And then we swapped. And she took Robbie. And I went and rode Avatar. First of all, it's incredible. You're on this. You get strapped in on, like, this little motorcycle harness type of thing. And then they lock you in and then they lift up the screen and you're riding a banshee around this world. It is, I think, the closest thing you could possibly come to simulating, a Game of Thrones dragon ride.
And yet you spent so much time on Twitter blasting Avatar having said no one's seen
it. I was in the gift shop waiting to ride the ride having said nobody's seen Avatar. Find somebody who's seen Avatar.
Me and Sean have seen it, and it came out in 2009, and it was,
It's still,
it's not something you watch a second time, but the first time it was pretty amazing.
It's still the highest grossing box office movie of all time. Like, Avengers Endgame, which I haven't seen, so no spoilers, is trying to
catch it. That guy spoiled it to you on Twitter. Didn't he say someone died?
What an absolute prick.
I laughed so hard at that because you have all these stupid rules about what is and isn't a spoiler. Listen, TV shows count as spoilers. Movies do not.
He replied for something totally different, not related to Avengers at all. It was like, bleep, blank, died.
I love that guy. Whoever
I was like,
guy
are
is,
you kidding me? I was like, you know, that's an automatic block.
Right, you pulled a Prisco on it.
I mean, that's clearly I'm going to block you. So I get done with Avatar and I walk out and everybody's standing at the exit, like backed up. I was like, what the hell is going on? So you get done with the ride. You think you're sprinting right out. It had started pouring down rain. So I sprinted down the steps in the rain, got drenched. I get stuck in the gift shop for 45 minutes, walked next door and got a beer. AK was at Pizza Safari where our reservations were. Robbie's melting down. She's melting down. Everybody, when it starts pouring at Disney, everybody flocks into the nearest place.
You chuck beers.
Yeah. And so I'm just slamming beers in the Avatar gift shop. And, at that point, it's things that we'd been to the park 3 days, things that was the only time we got in any sort of fight. But she had
Yeah, 3 straight days is a lot. You got to break that up.
Yeah. We didn't, just because of our schedule, we did a pool day on Monday. Didn't really break it up. We did Epcot the first day, Magic Kingdom the second day, Animal Kingdom the third day, and then Hollywood Studios, which actually I thought was the best one.
I don't know. Was it hot?
Yeah, it was real hot.
Yeah, so that's the great thing about Hollywood Studios. You can sit in the AC and watch that Star Wars thing as many times as you can.
The Star Wars ride was a lot of fun. The Toy Story Land, which is new, is really cool. There's a game where you pop in and you shoot a 3D cannon. And
we must have done the older version of that because after I scared the crap out of my 7-year-old at the time on what's that rocket ride called?
Space Mountain?
Yeah, that was the first ride we did. So the rest of the time was spent on those sort of –
yeah.
Toy Story type rides.
Yeah, Robbie wasn't really into – he did a couple roller coasters, wasn't really into it. Anyway, that's the Disney portion of this podcast. Any questions you have for me about Disney?
No, but related to nonsensical stuff that's currently going on in pop culture. Was Aaron Rodgers on Game of Thrones?
He was one of the guards.
Did you see him?
I've seen screenshots. I did not catch it live.
I hope he died. Did he die?
Somebody also pointed out – look, again, we're not going to spoil Game of Thrones now. We'll talk about that later.
It was spoiled after season 8 started.
Ooh, you didn't like last night's episode, did you?
Yeah, I'm indifferent. My wife is sort of like
let's save it. Let's save it. Let's save it.
We'll save it. So what else were you going to say about the Aaron Rodgers thing?
He was also supposedly – somebody saw him like diving in. It'll spoil it. We'll just talk about it. We'll talk about it with Sean.
All right, yep. I just forgot he was in it. I didn't see him.
Anything else I missed while I was gone?
Let's see. What else did we talk about? Not really. I guess that Brady – I didn't go back and listen to it, but Debo mentioned that Brady and Pete had their own Game of Thrones recap. I don't know if you heard it.
No, I didn't.
It must have been at the top of Tuesday's episode. No, it must have been Wednesday's episode because we do Tuesday's recap. So Wednesday they talked about it when they did the podcast from the studio.
Right.
Debo said it was quote-unquote interesting.
Well, so I got a bunch of tweets that were like, dude, people blast you for tangents. Prisco and Brady are –
yeah, I saw that.
Bizarre freaks.
Because Brady is secretly terrible about tangents.
Brady's the worst. Brady brings out the worst in me when it comes to tangents, too. And Prisco, like, he loves going off on tangents about random things, and they like complaining about different stuff. So, that would be unsurprising if we were talking about those guys as possible tangent heavy people. Okay, I'm going to sort of run through some headlines here. And
Yeah, not a lot going on.
There's not a lot going on. This mini camps are fired up. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's your factor when it comes to Le'Veon Bell and other somebody like Le'Veon Bell, who you know has been a pain in the ass previously, but wasn't like Antonio Brown pain in the ass, was Le'Veon Bell pain in the ass. He signs his big contract with the Jets and then skips their voluntary workout. He will be there at the mandatory minicamp.
Yeah, nah, I don't care about that. I mean, he's taken off, what, 12 months? 12, actually more than that. So it'll be 18 months by the time he shows back up. It's fine. Adam Gase said it'll be mandatory. He's had a lot of wear and tear, so all the more rest you can get him, the better. I think the more interesting story out of the sort of Jets last week was Quinnen Williams. I don't know if you saw this. He was talking to the media after minicamp, and he was talking about how starstruck he was.
Yeah.
And as he told me on the red carpet hours before he was drafted third overall,
he said
8 months ago, I had no idea whether I was going to start, let alone be drafted or where I am now. So it's all happened really fast for him. He's still really young. I mean, the kid has braces. But I do appreciate the fact that he's not been sort of jaded by all the money he's about to make. The dude was happy about seeing Sam Darnold in person. I mean, he plays with Tua.
He's like, oh, my God, I just met Le'Veon Bell, guys. And it's like, what are you talking about, dude?
Le'Veon, okay, I get it. Sam Darnold, come on, man.
Yeah, it's like you would say.
So that was a good story. I like that. So Jay Cutler, I want to call him. Drew Lock apparently looks fine at minicamp, throwing in shorts and T-shirts. Dwayne Haskins looked fine, throwing in shorts and T-shirt.
Jay Gruden, by the way, says there's an open quarterback competition. If you had to, I'll point this out too on Le'Veon Bell before we get to that Redskins thing. I don't know that the story. I think this is just a difference between when you leave Pittsburgh and you go to New York. Like the story is big if Le'Veon Bell skips Steelers minicamp after, but it's not as big as it is in New York. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, luckily for Le'Veon Bell, Daniel Jones happened, so no one really cares about him. And the Giants are the bigger story usually in New York.
I know, but I mean, like, every time that Le'Veon Bell does something, it's like, is there already a rift between Gase and Bell? It's like, what are we doing? Like, they signed him.
Just wait till Antonio Brown does something in Oakland, then we'll have to worry about that.
Yeah, maybe he's just so big at this point that it's going to be an issue. But, I mean, if he's, I don't know. I just think if he'd signed with the Jaguars and he skips voluntary minicamp, we're like, oh! Whatever.
Well, Tom Coughlin's having a meltdown, though.
That's true. All right, the Redskins, Jay Gruden says there's an open quarterback competition. If you had to handicap it right now, percentage chances, Dwayne Haskins, Case Keenum, and Colt McCoy, who starts week one?
I would start Case Keenum or Colt McCoy.
No, but what percent chance do you think it is?
Case or Colt, I give 75%.
Uh-huh.
Maybe higher. You can't
that
just
combo. So you think 25% chance Haskins starts week one?
Yeah, I just wouldn't force him out there. There's no reason to. I mean, yeah, they drafted Terry McLaurin, and they drafted another wide receiver too. Who'd they draft? Oh,
Calvin Harmon.
So they have those two, but those guys are both rookies. So, you know, it's hard for rookies sometimes to come in, especially as receivers, and contribute right away. And never mind that, but Dwayne Haskins has 1 year. He's a redshirt sophomore coming out of Ohio State. There's no rush to get him out there. And this team on paper, it ain't great. Maybe that changes with who they add. Did they add any wide receivers? They're even adding wide receivers in the free agency.
No, this is not a good team.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say that, like, it does feel like a team that could end up if ever, like, and we should do this ceiling floor podcast. We should do that for.
Well, we got time.
This offseason. We do have time. Like, if you were predicting right now the floor for the Redskins, I think their floor is really low. Like, they could win four games.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if they had the number one pick next year. I do think that their ceiling is probably something in the range of 9 wins. Everything breaks right.
Yeah, and it was – I can't remember whether it was Sean. It may have been Sean. Sean or John last week has the Redskins as their favorite in the division. Which isn't crazy when you look at the rest of the division.
Wait. Oh. Somebody said the Redskins are the favorite to win the division?
I think it was Sean. Sean, then he backtracked
was
quickly.
Was he drunk?
Carson Wentz doesn't stay healthy?
They got Cody Kessler.
They do have Cody Kessler, so that's a solid plan B. Who was the backup? Who's in between them? Oh, they drafted someone too, I believe.
No, it's
God, at the time of year, he's so hard to keep up with everybody.
No, it's he played. It's Nick Sudfeld.
Oh, right, Sudfeld. Okay, yeah. So Sudfeld.
Wow, good Monday. We're recording this on Monday morning, by the way.
Oh, they drafted Clayton Thorson, too, out of Northwestern. Okay, oh, yeah. So they have four guys now. So one of those guys isn't making the team. Either way, so Wentz could get hurt. Plan B is great.
According to our lads, they also have Luis Perez from the AAF.
AAF, five quarterbacks.
That's an interesting group of quarterbacks. I think Doug Peterson and that staff and Mike Groh's done a good job. He did a good job as quarterback coach, Jim Groh's son, of course, now the OC. I could see them – love a Groh. I could see them parlaying one of those quarterbacks into a decent backup.
Who's Jim Groh?
Al Groh, not Jim Groh. Jim Grobe? Jim Grobe is the old Wake Forest coach.
Yeah.
Okay, there's that post-vacation memory. I got to be honest. I love the Eagles.
Everything breaks. I mean, yeah, Miles Sanders is awesome. They drafted Arcega Whiteside, who I like.
Traded for Jordan Howard.
But last week, here's the question I asked John. Would you rather have – who was the other quarterback we were talking – oh, who are you paying, Dak Prescott or Carson Wentz? Pay him $30 million a year. Who are you paying? The fact that you're hesitating tells me the answer.
I mean, Dak is – Carson Wentz has better upside, but Dak has been healthy the whole time.
That's right.
I can't pay a quarterback who can't stay healthy.
Well, that's right. So that's why the Redskins are Sean's favorite team ever in the history of college football, of NFL.
I mean, Carson Wentz has played three seasons.
He just takes hits. And as John pointed out, even at South Dakota State, he was hurt for – I think he broke his wrist right before the game. He came back and whooped up on his wife's poor team, Jacksonville State, in the finals.
16, 13, and 11, the 11 coming off an ACL injury. Just wonder if he rushed back from the ACL. I mean, he had a really good – I mean, he had a good season.
No, I didn't rush back. Yeah. I would know. But
had a good season the Cowboys,
I'm sorry. The Giants are going to be terrible. I mean –
I think the Giants are going to be better than people think.
High low for them is 9-5. I feel like they're slightly better than the Redskins.
I think I would say the Giants 10-6 is the.
All right, 10-6, fine.
I think the Giants could win four games. I
mean, what about the Cowboys?
The Cowboys have a higher floor and a lower like. I think the Cowboys are like 7-7.
That's lower high.
Is their floor?
Okay.
I would be surprised if the Cowboys didn't win less than seven games. That would be a meltdown.
Right. Yeah. Like 7-10, maybe 10.5.
Are we doing the floor ceiling NFC?
I'm just doing. I'm just asking about the NFC because we were talking about. You were surprised that Sean was so. He's not really that high on the Redskins, but he even mentioned the Redskins.
I just think the
division's terrible.
I think the Redskins are very clearly the worst team in this division.
Yeah. No, I don't. I take that back. I think the Giants are.
Look. The Eagles have, we mentioned other guys on offense, and again, Carson Wentz has to stay healthy. He's played 16 games his rookie season, played 13 his second season. I don't think it's out of control to imagine that he plays 16. They did a good job bringing Andre Dillard, who can be a backup option in case something happens to Jason Peters, age, injury, it's happened before. Their defensive line is loaded. I mean, Derek Barnett, Malik Jackson, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Vinnie Curry, Tim Jernigan they brought back. Chris Long still on the fence as to whether or not he's going to play. Josh Sweat, who was a fourth-round pick in 2018. I mean, this is the – you know, the linebackers are – they added Zach Brown on a cheap deal. I don't think he's a superstar player, but a really nice add at that point in time. They brought back Nigel Bradham, Jalen Mills in the secondary, Malcolm Jenkins, Ronald Darby, Sidney Jones, the second-round pick who torn his ACL coming out of Washington. I think that this team is – a top.
Yeah, no one's saying that they're not the best team in the division. Just that
I think they're a top three or four NFC team if Carson Wentz plays 16 games.
If Carson Wentz, that's right.
Right.
But there's a scenario, however unlikely, that the Redskins, you know, could do something. Who knows? I'm not sold on anyone in this division outside of the Eagles, assuming that Carson's healthy.
I was higher than we were higher than the Redskins last year. They could go out and win nine games. Are you being sarcastic?
I'm trying to think. Why?
You had Alex. I picked the Redskins to win the
Alex
division.
Oh, Alex Smith MVP. I forgot.
You were talking about Alex Smith as MVP. I picked the Redskins to win the division before the season. I bet on it in Vegas like a chaperone. They should have gone over their win total, too. But, I mean, you know, stuff happens. I don't know. Look, I could see the Giants, speaking of them, they signed Mike Remmers. That should solve everything. He in theory, as his agent, Brett Tesler, friend of the program, sort of friend of, he lives down in Fort Lauderdale. He pointed out he will go back to playing his natural position, right tackle, should replace or compete with Chad Wheeler at the right tackle spot. I do think that, and look, Mike Remmers is a guy that Dave Gettleman had in Carolina. I look, again, I don't think the Giants are good. I'm not saying they're going to be good. But when you look at what they put together on offense, Nate Solder, Will Hernandez, John Jalapeno, Kevin Zeitler, and now Mike Rimmer slash Chad Wheeler, if you can run the ball effectively with those guys and Saquon Barkley can build on his what was an incredible rookie season, and you have Golden Tate and Sterling Shepard and Barkley catching the ball and Evan Ingram and Eli is at least efficient. I don't know.
Why would Eli at least be efficient? He's 38 and he hasn't been efficient. They've won more than they've lost once since 2012. So what's changed?
They have won. They've been over 500 once in.
Since 2012.
Yeah. That's not. They've won 8 games the last 2 years.
Combined, let's be clear.
2013, 7-9, 2014, 6-10, 2015, 6-10, 2016, 11-5, 3-12, 5-11. That's not great. People point out that Eli completed, if Eli has the season he had last year, statistically, and the Giants can run the ball, I think that this team.
They ran the ball last year.
I know.
With Odell Beckham.
I know. They probably won't be very good. I'm just saying, I think that they have a very high variance. Like they could be.
Yeah, I agree with that.
4 wins or 11 wins. Anything in that range wouldn't surprise me. I wouldn't want to bet the over, but I don't think they're going to be I think they'll be better than last year. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
All right. We'll see.
What else is happening?
Oh, on Monday, my 3 things the Steelers need to do.
Oh, there you go.
The Super Bowl.
Why don't we just hit one more piece of news, then we'll talk about that actually. Earl Thomas, Jesus, I am slow off vacation. Cam Chancellor and Doug Baldwin they've been released by the Seahawks, appear to have retired as a massive thunderstorm sets in on Raleigh. Fun. Were you surprised to see Doug Baldwin walk away from football?
Are we sure he walked? He's had so many surgeries, he may have been wheeled out of there. No, I think he knew it, and I think the Seahawks obviously were preparing for it because they drafted DK Metcalf in the second round. They drafted Gary Jennings in the 4th round, and then they drafted this kid, John Ursua out of Hawaii in the 7th round. I didn't even know who he was, but he led the country in touchdowns. So they have plans in a post-Doug Baldwin world. Doug Baldwin's awesome. I think he's only 30, 31, undrafted free agent out of Stanford. That dude was a baller.
Yeah.
So he's gone, and that's it's a big loss. I mean, they still have Tyler Lockett running deep routes, and that's what Tyler's been doing the last few years. So we'll see who the middle of the field threats are. I think I wrote about last Monday, I wrote about things that the Seahawks could do to get better. And one was to find a middle of the field threat. That's not necessarily going to replace Baldwin, but sort of give someone, Russell Wilson, someone to throw the ball to. And I mentioned Michael Crabtree as perhaps sort of a wide receiver / tight end option in the middle of the field. We'll see if they do anything, if they're happy with these guys. But yeah, I mean, that's a big loss. Cam Chancellor, we knew for some time that probably wasn't going to play again. I think a neck injury is what sidelined him originally.
They didn't play. I mean, they didn't play last year.
Right. Yeah. But again, that guy's a thumper.
Yep.
And defense is fine though. I think this is one of we talked about this last week. This is one of my favorite teams in the NFC. I think they could secretly win that division.
Oh, I agree completely. And look, I do think the Doug Baldwin loss is massive though. This is a guy that even when he was banged up last year, he was a change mover for Russell Wilson, one of the toughest guys in football, fought through tons of injuries in 2018, to play pretty well. And now it looks to me, Ryan, like it's very much a boom or bust offense because
still run it.
No, they're going to run the ball a ton, but there's no, like you said, middle of the field threat. I mean, Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, Jerron Brown. I mean, we're talking about these are deep.
Yeah, Gary Jennings played that. He was like a big slot for Will Greer at West Virginia. He struggled with catching the ball, which is sort of an issue if you're a receiver. But he ran like a 4.4. But again, we just talked about wide receivers struggling as rookies. So, right, there's no sort of proven guy. I think Michael Crabtree, I don't know if Dez Bryant makes sense, but that type of player, someone who can just, they're running 4.7s, but they're in the middle of the field and they can sort of occupy the safety or the linebacker because they don't have much in the way of tight ends that are game changers unless Will Disley is your guy.
No, I'm with you. By the way, there's quarter size hail that could land on me any second now. How exciting.
Which is funny because you texted me because you were running late, oddly enough, from your car and it was sunny outside. So it's interesting to me that suddenly things have changed so drastically in the last 15 minutes.
I was running back to record this podcast after driving Robbie off at school. I will text you a picture of the radar, Ryan, since I know Ryan thinks that I have stock photos of,
on my phone
of construction guys around, like in and around the Raleigh area as a way of like having a built-in excuse if I'm running late for something. Siri, text Brian.
I'm sure your wife has seen that same construction photo I've seen.
It's awesome. I think, by the way, I would recommend, I don't like to recommend not CBS stuff, but go to theringer.com and check out Danny Kelly's, write up. I think Natalie Wiener had a good piece for, SB Nation as well. Just sort of two people who grew up as Seahawks fans and to watch Doug Baldwin walk away. It is interesting to think about him maybe more so than the Legion of Boom as the heart and soul of that team and sort of what defined how the Seahawks came about.
By the way, all that belly aching and Doug Baldwin, I don't remember him being a part of the belly aching, but Richard Sherman certainly was, about how Russell Wilson was a weirdo and not a real teammate or whatever the issues were. The last man standing is Russell Wilson.
Absolutely. Bobby Wagner, one of, also left over, but I think Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, and Russell Wilson are really the only bridges to the 2012 Seahawks, right? I mean, to the championship team. Maybe I'm, you know, missing somebody on the offensive line or defensive line, but by and large, they flipped it. They signed Ziggy Ansah though. They drafted LJ Collier. I agree with you. I like what the Seahawks have done. I think they'll be good. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we come back. We'll explain why the Steelers will win the 2019 Super Bowl. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
All right, Ryan, your piece went up. I imagine, were there other stories by Three Things? Other Three Things stories?
Yeah, we did them all last week while you were chugging beer at
drank a lot of beer at Disney World.
What's the park, though?
Epcot.
Epcot, right. You went around the world. You go to different countries and drink beer?
We got wasted. Straight up wasted at Epcot. I mean, I had to go, like, I had like 5 or 6 beers in the sun, and it was just too much.
We were there in July when it was literally 4,000 degrees, and I said, I'll do this thing and try to dampen the fact that I'm out here with all these people spending money. I got like 2 beers. I was like, it's too hot. I can't do it.
Yeah, yeah. Or like the problem is you're like, oh, I'll do a black and tan in England. And then you're like, what's the Chinese beer? And you're like finishing it off with Kichiban, is it that one?
I don't know. Sapporo is my favorite.
Sapporo is my favorite too. What's that?
It's Japanese, dumb.
Sorry. I'm being offensive. I'm the Asian beer. But you're like black and tan Sapporo, like Dos Equis. And then in Africa, they've got this, this is so Disney. They've got like the old elephant IPA. It's like, yeah, I'm sure that's a traditional African beer.
Right.
It's from Tampa.
All those hipsters in Africa drinking that.
I mean, come on. Like you do that and you feel pretty lit up, but that's what I was doing while you guys were doing the Three Things, pieces, and yours was on the Steelers. What needs to happen for the Steelers to make a Super Bowl run?
Thing is, I mean, sadly, you're on them, which is troubling for Steelers fans. You like them to win the division. Is that right?
I do.
That could change, of course. It is May.
Sure.
But do you know the Super Bowl odds for the teams in that division off the top of your head?
I would guess that the Browns are 14 or 15.
14-1.
The Steelers are 22-1.
20-1 last I saw with RJ.
The Ravens are probably 40-1.
Are you looking at it?
No, I'm just pulling off the top of my head. I mean, I just know this stuff.
All right. Well,
the Bengals are like 150-1.
They're 100-1 last I saw. Okay. So yeah, very good. So right, the point is that the Browns are the favorites to win the Super Bowl, and I would imagine that means they're favorites to win the division. We'll see. Again, I love them on paper. My concern is whether they can handle the pressure. But the Steelers, meanwhile, they've lost two of the best players in the league in Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. But I wonder if they can get by with Le'Veon Bell. We saw that last year with James Conner. We'll see what happens without Antonio Brown. That's a huge ask.
Yes.
Juice Smith-Schuster and everyone else. So they don't need to add any wide receivers because they've done that. And they signed Dante Moncrief as sort of a stopgap long deep receiver. They drafted Deontay Johnson third round. We'll see what he can do. He's a Mac guy. Juju obviously has to step up. James Washington has to play better. There's that. So, but tight end wise, they lost Jesse James to the Lions. And they drafted Zach Gentry out of Michigan, who is like a worse version of Jesse James in every way. No disrespect to Zach or his family, but he wasn't very good last year. He was okay. He was fine, but he's not a guy you draft in the fourth or fifth round, wherever they got him, and expect him to come in and help. So they don't have any depth there. That's a concern. And we just talked about what tight ends could do for someone like Russell Wilson or a middle of the field threat. They need a pass rusher. They didn't draft a pass rusher.
Can you hear this hail, by the way? Holy crap. It is. I'm not kidding. There are quarter-sized chunks of hail falling on my roof right now.
Did you park the Jaguar in the garage?
I did not.
Ooh. Hmm. Well, better get Mr. Belvedere on that.
Can you do insurance with hail?
Yeah, natural disaster.
All right. Let's get Daddy a new car.
I'm just making stuff up. I have no idea. I can't imagine you can't, though.
I'm in a bitter fight with State Farm right now and the local body shop over things got heated. But anyway.
Is that when AK got rear-ended?
Yeah, it's still going on. That happened in.
That was Super Bowl week.
Happened in freaking February. I'm still dealing with it. These guys don't want to fix it. They gave it sent me home with a bad battery. Anyway, tangents. That's what we do here. Yeah, no, I mean, look, I just think that I have concerns about the offense and the addition.
What concerns outside of the obvious Antonio Brown?
Well, no, Antonio, just can Juju be a number one guy? And can they operate the offense without Brown at the same level? Is there somebody, whether it's – I mean, look, let's look at the guys who are there because it's not
– Juju, James Washington.
Eli Rogers, Dante Moncrief, Ryan Switzer.
Ryan Switzer.
Teron White, Deontay Johnson, who I would anticipate – Deontay Johnson was a bleep you pick to Antonio Brown.
Yeah, well, they could have drafted Marquise Brown, but
third round Mac receiver.
Yeah, no. Apparently, they had a first round grade on him. Third round sounded about where he probably third or fourth round.
They had a first round grade on Deontay Johnson.
That's the report. Who knows?
What if he has a better season than Antonio Brown next year?
Now that would be a hugely disappointing for Antonio Brown because I can't imagine
John Green.
Like realistically, if Deontay Johnson has 20 catches and 250 yards, that would be a good season, I would imagine.
But they used the pick that they got from the Raiders on Deontay Johnson, right?
Well, they used the pick for Santonio Holmes and on Antonio Brown.
Right. I mean, this is a Kevin Colbert. Yeah. Kevin Colbert comes across as like a mild-mannered, like, I am an objective person who doesn't – but he's like, F you, boys, F you.
Yeah. He's like Harris with more hair.
That's actually a pretty good comp.
But anyway, yeah, so we'll have to see whether – Roethlisberger can cope without Antonio Brown. And look, last year and the years before, he forced a lot of passes to Antonio Brown because we knew the temper tantrums were on the horizon if he didn't get the balls thrown his way. So we'll see whether it helps. But it's obviously a huge question. A bigger question that we haven't talked about in a while, actually. Mike Munchak, the offensive line coach, is now in Denver.
That is a great, great, great point.
That's going to be a huge problem. They have all the guys back along the offensive line, but prior to Munchak being there, that offensive line was straight up doo-doo, and it was because of the offensive line coach who was there 1 year and jettisoned when it became clear that he didn't know what he was doing.
You see this a lot around the NFL, and it doesn't get the credit it deserves. So good up for you for talking about that, Ryan. But like we saw it with Bill Callahan when he jumped from when he was in Dallas and how good that offensive line was, and he jumps to Washington. We saw it with the Bengals when they switched offensive line coaches last year. We saw it with the Seahawks and the Raiders when they got rid of Tom Cable, and the Seahawks offensive line magically became one of the five best in the league, and the Raiders magically went from being one of the top five units to being like a bottom 10 unit. It's pretty incredible. I would say that a couple bets I like on the Steelers. The Steelers actually have moved now, at least on I need to see – I think we're supposed to reference the Westgate here, so I don't want to get in trouble. But I just happen to have sportsbook.com up, an offshore site. But it is – they're is now even money on whether they make or miss the playoffs. And before they were like plus 150 to make or miss the playoffs, which I think is interesting. I would want to take them, if I could wager on it, to make the playoffs. I think that that is a good bet with the Steelers. Cause when I wrote about this for the site, and if you can go back and look at it, I'm bringing up the Westgates right now, but the old one, I'm pretty sure that they were, let's see, I have them right here. They were plus 110 to make the playoffs, minus 130 to miss. I love them at plus money to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and the important thing outside of Munchak, if they can sort that out, and his assistant will be taking over, we'll see. I don't think the guy's ever been O-line coach.
And it's not like Munchak was making chicken salad out of chicken crap. Like he
turned around a unit that was terrible.
No, but I mean, like when you look at their offensive line, I mean, you're talking about Villanueva, Ramon Foster, Pouncey, DeCastro.
Yeah.
I mean, they have
He made them play better though.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
So that aside, and I think the bigger issue, as always recently anyway, is the defense. So the two other things I mentioned about how they could get better is add a pass rusher. There's no one out there now. They didn't draft one outside of Sutton Smith and Ulysses Gilbert, who are both 230 pounds and sort of project.
Is Isaiah Bugs a fourth?
He's an interior guy.
Defensive end? Okay. Yeah.
But, I mean, Shane Ray is out there. Mm-hmm. He's been hurt. Can't stay healthy. He was a first-round pick, right?
He was by the Broncos, yeah.
Hasn't really. He had 8 sacks his second year, and then he sort of struggled. But Derek Morgan's still out there. He's 30. He's played better more recently. But again, these are situational guys that can come in and spell T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree. And finally, they need some depth at safety. Morgan Burnett wanted out, so they cut him. He's now with the Browns. They signed Mark Barron to sort of play that role, but he's slash linebacker slash safety. What do you think about Eric Berry? Can't stay healthy either.
I think he expected to get more money in the free agent market than he realized would be out there because he saw
Earl Thomas got 4 years, $55 million, and I think $30 something million guaranteed. They ain't giving him that.
Nah.
I think a better option might be your guy Trey Boston.
Ooh, that's not a bad idea. I think that would be smart though for the Steelers. Although, do you think they look at Sean Davis and Terrell Edmonds and be like, all right, we got this covered? I mean,
well, it's Sean Davis's final year of his deal. Mm. He's free safety. Trey Boston can play back there, and Terrell Evans is coming to a second year. He did okay last year's first-round pick. I think they expect more out of him. This year is a strong safety, and that's certainly reasonable, but just in terms of depth. But their defense is much better this year.
If you told me this defense was a top-five unit this coming year, I wouldn't be stunned.
So if the defense works out, an issue I didn't write about and is obviously one to keep an eye on, whether what's the kicker's name? Boswell, whether he can get his head out of his arse. He went off the deep end last year.
Devin Bush has to play like a top 10 pick out of the box too.
Or just not play like one of the worst players in the league at linebacker.
That's too.
But yeah. Right. So yeah, I mean, Ryan Chazier struggled as a rookie, if I recall. That defense in 2014 probably was terrible. I have to go back and look and verify it, but, it'll probably be some growing pains. But we've seen guys. Fred Warner came in last year for the 49ers and balled out. So it's not impossible.
I was trying to find props for MVP. I think they're down now, let's see. MVP. In theory, I'm not going to mention the site, but you could bet on it if you wanted to. Sportsbook.com. Ben Roethlisberger is 50-1.
That sounds low.
That is like it should be like 20-1.
What's Drew Brees, for example?
Odell Beckham is 40-1.
Come on.
Exactly. Ben Roethlisberger is even with Christian McCaffrey, Zeke Elliott, Khalil Mack, Saquon Barkley, Todd Gurley. And
good Lord, Todd Gurley.
Exactly. Slightly ahead of Jared Goff. Kirk Cousins is 70-1. Kyler Murray, 75-1. What are we doing here?
Yeah. I mean, rookie of the year. That's one thing, but he ain't.
Let's compare it. Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers, Deshaun Watson, Carson Wentz, Russell Wilson are 20-1. Drew Brees is 15-1. Matt Ryan, Phillip Rivers are 25-1. Aaron Donald is 40-1. Cam Newton's 41. Cam Newton, we don't even throw this year. Roethlisberger, I'm telling you, people, if you can find that out there, bet on Ben Roethlisberger 50-1 to win MVP. That's Jimmy Garoppolo is 40-1. Get out of here. It's ridiculous. Here's the other thing with Roethlisberger. If he plays 16 games, I know that's a stretch, but it could happen. If he plays 16 games, has 4,000 plus passing yards, which he'll do if he plays 16 games, 30 plus touchdowns, which he'll do if he plays 16 games, and does it without Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, people are going to push the narrative about the Steelers, especially if they win 10 to 12 games and take that division. I love this bet. I think losing your top two playmakers 50-1 odds is a great, great value. I would.
What's Mason Rudolph?
He is 51-1.
Nice.
Yeah. Lamar Jackson is 75-1. Come on. Dak Prescott 80-1. Why is Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson ahead of Dak Prescott? This is messed up. Go bet on this now. Antonio Brown 100-1. Get out of here.
Yeah, right.
It's ridiculous. Derek Carr 125-1. Okay, let's get out of here because you're gonna have to podcast with me later.
Yep.
Today, this is the Pick Six podcast. Thank you for dealing with our delay, Ryan. Thank you as always for your excessive off-season work and dealing with me and fulfilling it while I was gone. We're gonna get this party started all off-season. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Talk to you soon, buddy.